Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I just need to say something first, is that you have a pretty cool youth pastor and husband, and I really like your pastor and his wife as well. So it's kind of a cool thing you have going here. Honestly, you know, things kind of go this way, but what Randy said is true, is I count these people as people that I admire. And there's certain words that, you know, say a little bit more. And I know that you feel this way. I've been around a few of you now, and I know you feel blessed by God to have leadership like that in this church. And I encourage you just to continue to appreciate them and be with them and work with them. It's a big job, but the best part about the job is we get to do it together, right? I mean, that's really what the church thing is about. And so I need to say that. You guys are I've become a fan of this place. We were here this last fall. We were over in La Crosse and did a youth convention, which I know you guys kind of heard about. But before that, we came in because of the leadership here at this church. We were able to come into the schools here with Reggie Dabbs and do some pretty cool things. Were any of you at the night rallies where we saw just so much change happen? Wasn't that exciting? I just have to say this to you. Thank you for investing and believing in students. That's kind of my thing. They probably all know this. You guys will be sick of hearing this by the time. But I believe in students, and I really believe that the future is in good hands. If I were just to ask you for a minute to think back to somebody when you were that age, when you were in junior high school, if you remember a teacher, a coach, maybe it was your parent, maybe whoever it was that believed in you, if you start thinking about that person for very long, what happens? You feel good, right? You're like, wow, that person believed in me. I took chances. I stepped out and achieved things because of simply somebody saying, you know what? I see something in you. And you're worth an investment. And so for me, thank you so much for making that investment and getting students to a place where they can get away and experience God and experience relationship in a healthy, healthy way. And so we appreciate that. And I do need to mention this. Thank you as well for believing in missions. I know that you're one of the top churches in our district when it comes to giving to Speed the Light, which is super important. Our missionaries, a lot of times in other places, they're waiting for support to go do what God's asked them to do. And you guys are a key part of making that kind of thing happen. Okay? All right. Are you guys, I hope you're ready for me. I'm a bit different. And so the students really know that. And for you, I'll limit how much you know about that. Okay? But I was a kid. I was born just literally in a hospital, but grew up like my first few months right across the street from North Central. And then I went to a pastor's home in North Dakota. And right after that, we went to the mission field in Vietnam. And for those of you that are history buffs, when I was 5 and 6, I lived in, it was 1973, 1974, and we lived in Vietnam, which was interesting times over there, as many of you can remember. And so we went from there, and then I grew up in a pastor's home and all this kind of stuff. Why do I tell you this? One of the stories that I remember is, I'm sure some of you remember the movies that talked about kind of the tribulation. Do you remember that in the 80s? Any of you kind of resonate with what I'm talking about there? Okay, I knew Jesus from the time, I mean, I was just a little guy. And I'm in the running for setting the record for how many times I've accepted Jesus, you know. And I'm still, you know, I might get saved today again because I just, you know, that's kind of the way things go when I was growing up. And they showed these movies, and if you remember them, if you don't remember them, just suffice it to say, you were motivated to accept Jesus at the end of this movie, okay? And I remember being so, and it was late kind of grade school time frame. It was probably about fifth grade. And we believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ, means it can happen right now, and it would be awesome. Amen? Right? And but when I was, it seemed like in that time, we really believed, like seriously, we were surprised in the morning. Well, I guess it didn't happen, you know? And that was the time, okay? And so I'm in fifth grade, and I had seen these movies, and it was just one of those picture-perfect moments where, you know, we lived in a parsonage right next to the church. Some of you understand how that goes. And so I think I actually was practicing the piano for the 7 minutes that I practiced piano in my life, you know. And over at the church, coming home, and then all of a sudden, every light in the house is on at home. I come in, nobody's in the house. Okay, now some of you are way ahead of me because you lived in this thing, all right? But I'm telling you, it was like, okay, seriously, you know, we're kind of one of those, are they messing with me? Because my family's a little fun, but they weren't messing with me. And wouldn't you know it, you know, you look in a certain place and all of a sudden in the living room, there's like some clothes on the floor. And I didn't really know if you went, when we go to heaven, I don't really know if you bring the clothes with you or not, but that makes me think you don't, you know, at that point in time. And so, whole new picture of the rapture at that point. Glad it's a twinkling of an eye and all that good stuff. But here it is, clothes on the floor, nobody's home, lights are on. I'm in fifth grade. I'm very aware of where, okay, so what? Anybody been there, what do? Thank God for the church directory, okay? Because I started going, and I said, all right, the Kemps. I know if I call the Kemps and they answer, I'm home free, okay? Because they are the people that, you know. So I call up, guess what? No answer. And this is, you know, I would have taken a busy signal. It would have been fine with me, okay? I'm telling you, I'm going through all the names in the book, and I'm sitting, and I'm going, seriously, this is a small town. Somebody's got to be home. And I am... It's you think I'm making this up as a story. It's just the honest to God truth. I'm in fifth grade, and I grew up in a home where, you know, we were aware of guns, and I had my plans. I'm like, okay, I'll be able to hunt, and I'll be able to do this kind of stuff. I had a plan in place. I'm like, and I'll have to hide where people don't know I'm at, you know, because I don't want my head to get chopped off like in that movie. You know, this is all in about 10 minutes, you know, time. I'm figured all this out. And so then I, this is honestly it. I start walking down the street, and I am bawling my eyes out, man. And wouldn't you know it, I'm probably three blocks from home. Just, I don't know where I was going, what I was doing. I knew I had 7 years, so it wasn't going to get real bad for a little while. But, and so obviously I'm a pre-tribber, in case you're wondering, but... As I'm going down the street, guess what happens, right? The car coming, I recognize. And all the people in it, I recognize. And it's my family, and they had, you know, gone to go do something. And, of course, I am just a mess. And instantly, as relieved as I am, now I got another issue on my hands. They come in, and they're rolling down the window, kind of saying, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, nothing, you know? And right back to where everything was okay. Hey, the reason I tell you that story is because I kind of think today we're going to look in John chapter 7, and I love to talk about the life that Jesus really promised people when he came and he was on earth and he said, here's what this thing, because Christianity took on a whole new thing, right? For me, at that point in my life, it was avoiding hell and keeping my head, you know, and getting to heaven. Those were like the things... that really, really mattered to me about Christianity, okay? And obviously I didn't get it, but that message was coming from somewhere, and it was probably coming from us, the church. And while those are all very real, I don't know about the head thing, but everything else very real, okay? I think Jesus would be disappointed if that was what the message of life in Christ was really about, right? And so I'm going to read in chapter 7, if you look down to chapter 7, verse 21. I'm sorry, I'm not in the right place here. He's talking about, I'm sorry, 37 is where I want to be, 7:37. When Jesus is at the end of this festival, and I do have to say this, back in that time, that group of people, the Israelites, the Jewish people, knew how to have a party, okay? If you study the feast and all that kind of stuff that went on back then, it was, a lot of them lasted for a month. I mean, it was like, okay, we're going to celebrate. It wasn't like our Super Bowl parties that we kind of get fired up about. And, you know, we watch some commercials, half a game, and we eat a bunch of stuff, and we kind of go home, and it's over, right? the parties they had were huge. And this is at the end of one of the parties that they're having. It's called the Feast of the Tabernacles. And if you look, chapter 7, verse 37, says, on the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds. He said, if you are thirsty, come to me. If you believe in me, come and drink. For the scriptures declare that rivers of living water will flow out from within. And here's a key interpretation of that. Verse 39, when he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. Jesus stood up. They're having the time of their lives, right? And he made sure he yelled so everybody could hear, right? They've been doing what? For how long? They've been eating and drinking like crazy. But he stood up and said, if you're not satisfied, if you're thirsty, you know what? Come, and here's what's going to happen to you. The life of Christ is not about avoidance of hell. It is a great benefit. But it is about this life where there's abundance. There's living water comes out of us, and you're never going to thirst again. And it says, how's that going to happen? Because the Holy Spirit has come, and it's going to live inside of you. It's going to live inside of me. And before I run to this whole deal, I just want to tell you, when I was at that stage in my life in the church, a lot of times, here's what I felt. And students, this, I think you can connect with me a little bit on this. I would look at the church and they would say, we have abundant life, the best life. And it didn't feel like it. I would look at my friends. They wouldn't say anything about living life to the fullest. But it sure felt like they were. Do you guys understand what I'm saying here? And there was this drop-off, and I totally get it now. I get how, you know, when you chase after the things of pleasing yourself and being in all that kind of thing, it feels like life, and we know that that's shallow, and in the end, you know, that's truly not going to give you life. But there was life there. What I struggled with was I was in the place where everybody said, hey, this is it, life to the fullest, living water. And I would look around, and I'm like, it's, somebody forgot to tell us. You know, we read it, but it wasn't there. And so here's the thing. We look at this, John 10:10. Many of you know the scripture. It says, what does the enemy come to do? Three things, steal, kill, and destroy. And what is God's will for us? That we have life and the most abundant life. It's the best of the best. And so here's the deal. If you haven't accepted Christ, if you haven't come to a place where you say, I'm going to live for him and not for myself, you know what? Cut to the chase. The truth is, that's the only decision that's going to be worthwhile in your life. Everything else is here or there, but that's where the starting point is. If you haven't been there, man, I encourage you, do what you got to do, but get there as quick as you can. Trust me, you got to start the race to be in the race, you know? That's the thing. But here's the point of it. The point is this, is that many of us have made that decision, right? I look around this room, and many of us have said, you know what? This Jesus thing is cool. And I don't know where you were when that happened, but here's what the picture looks like. I know some of the students here are new believers. And when you do that, some things kind of change about you, right? Maybe the way I talk changes a little bit, right? Maybe my relationships with maybe my parents or my friends, they start to change a little bit. And you start to feel like, I can do this, right? And you're gaining ground and you're becoming a quote-unquote better person. Right? And then all of a sudden, you get to a point where, you know, you don't talk that way anymore. You don't have some of the habits you used to have. And you're kind of checking things off the list. And then you kind of hit this plateau, or you hit this place where you're like, okay, what's next? And the easy wins kind of come off. And now it's real stuff. And you kind of start going, hey, you know what? I'm supposed to... The picture that Jesus painted was this party in a box, right? Abundant life. And I had that for a little bit, and now I'm kind of going, it doesn't really look that way. Because if, let me just to tell you what I mean. Instead of looking like that, it looks like I believe this whole thing, and yet I yell at my kids, who I love with all my heart. Maybe I worry too much about money or my job. Maybe I get jealous of other people. When they succeed, I find myself not being happy for them. And I get petty about a lot of things. Maybe I use deception to get out of some trouble or to get by a little bit easier, a little bit cheaper. Maybe I pass judgment on somebody else quickly. maybe my devotional life, which used to be fuel to me, has become this up and down. You get what I'm saying? I hope you're connecting with me here today, saying, okay, this is what you promised, and I was on my way to that, and yet all of a sudden what happens is there gets to be this gap between what you read Jesus saying it is and what it really looks like. You get what I'm talking about, I hope? Because I want to talk about that gap and what we do to deal with that when the reality isn't what it looks like or what we think it should look like. So the first thing, what do you think people do? If they're going to see this gap saying, here's where I'm supposed to be, here's where I'm at, I got to close that distance. Number one thing people do is this. I got to try harder. Right? I just got to try harder. So what's that look like in the church world? Pastor, could you open up that church at 4 a.m.? Because I need to get in there and I need to close this gap. Okay? Now for some of you, 4 a.m. is no problem. You're like, I'm up anyway, let's go. Okay? But for me, 4 a.m., I'm not even sure God wants to be around me at 4 a.m., okay? Maybe you're like me. It's like, that is not the way. And so what you do, you say, I'll serve more. I'm going to sign up for all these things. I'm going to read through the Bible. I joke with students, the most commonly read verses in the Bible are usually like the first 7 to 10 chapters of Genesis, right? It's like, okay, new year, I'm going to do this year. And you go and you're like, and those stories were pretty good, but I've read those, you know, and all of a sudden you drop off, and what do? We start over. We try harder. And you know what? The truth is, the secret's that you're getting kind of tired. You're working your tail off, but you're getting kind of tired, and you're worn out, and you close a little bit on that gap, and it's like that cruel, you know, carrot out in front of the donkey that's hauling things, right? It's like, am I ever going to get this gap closed? And once you start to get a little bit tired, you get close to saying, man, I don't know if this is ever going to work for me. And so what do? You say, man, I know my pastor, he seems to have that gap closed. Maybe it's just meant to work for him, and I don't know if it's ever going to work for me. And to these people, Jesus said what? Come, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Right? This is not supposed to be this huge job that if you just give all the work in the world, you might finally get in the shadow of that gap once again. He's not saying that. I'll give you rest is what he's saying. And you know what? Jesus was speaking to people in this time who were exhausted from trying to keep up with all the spiritual laws that were there, right? What do you think he was saying when he says, come, my yoke is easy, my burden is light? Because these people were trying to keep all the rules and work as hard as they could. Let me tell you the little secret. No matter how hard you work, that will never be the key to closing the gap between the reality of Christianity and what Jesus promised. See, I think they're the same thing, but for a lot of us, we struggle with that, getting out of kilter. Second thing people do, they pretend like the gap isn't there. Pretend it doesn't exist, right? So if I come in and I'm just like, I'm not feeling it today, Pastor. I'm just not here, you know. There's this gap. What I got to do is I just got to raise my hands and pretend like it's not there, right? God is good, even though inside I'm feeling like I don't even know if he knows where I'm at today. I don't feel connected, all this kind of stuff. And in some people's case, they'll just say fake happiness is better than real depression, right? So what do? Does that work? Does that work for anybody? Has anybody ever said, oh, I just choose to be in a good mood about this? I tell my kids that all the time, and it never works. I wish it would, you know? Say, hey, you just choose to be in a good mood. But really, is that really what Jesus is saying when he says, rivers of living water are going to come out of you? You just choose that, and it's really going to happen for you? I think we would all have done that if that were the case. Even how people pray sometimes, I think, Lord, I just want. And we try to make it sound like it's no big deal, right? But it's a huge deal. You're not going to get this gap closed off because you just pretend like it isn't there. Faking it is not going to happen. Third thing people do, this was me, repeatedly dedicate their lives to Christ, right? I've said it already. I'm going to get saved again today, right? And because at the beginning, there was no gap. So if I just start over, that gap is gone. And I'm back to wherever it was. And this kind of happens, we see this in the youth subculture, at camps and conventions. How many of you grew up going to camps or conventions or anything like that? Can I see your hands out there? Okay. So you know what I'm talking about. You come in, you understand, I'm going to get away from things, and I'm going to, you know, it's almost like, it's like the New Year's resolution and the gym membership, you know? Like, okay, we sell a lot of them, you know, probably in December, January. And if you're a person who regularly works out, you hate the beginning of the year, right? Because now you got to wait in line to get your machines, because everybody's in there for this first month anyway. They're usually pretty good about getting there. You know, come February, March, April, for sure, you won't have a line to get to the machine that you want to work out on. That's typically how it goes. Sometimes it's like this. We want to recapture that emotion of the beginning and say, God, I want that gap to be gone. So I must have messed something up in the journey. Let me start over, okay? And so we kind of get in this cycle, but what ends up happening, it wears off and we realize the gap is there still. Fourth thing, this is really popular today. People switch spiritual venues or places of worship. There's a gap here. So, Sue, it's something in youth group. And so I'm going to go over to this other youth group because they're a little bit, you know, this one's real, you know, exciting and whatnot, but I just need something there where they're just going to, you know, make me get up at 4 a.m. and do this and that. And so I'm going to go over there for a little while. Guess what the person over there is doing? Saying, you know what, I just need a little more excitement, and I think I'm going to go check out the youth group over here, right? Or maybe in the church we're going to do that, and we're kind of say, I grew up, I know there's some people here that grew up with different backgrounds. And if you came from a Catholic background or another something like that, it may have been really refreshing for you to come into this. Well, there are people in this kind of background that are like, this is what I've known my whole life. I need to go someplace else. And we keep looking for a place or a style to close this gap. And if I get in the right place, all of a sudden, I'm going to have this abundant life. Has that worked for any? I mean, the statistics say this, that for a person who goes from one venue to the next, if they were, say, in this, let's just say we're in this church for 20 years, when they move to the next church, they'll be there about half as long before they move to the next church, and then that one will be about half as long before it. We're chasing after something that's not going to close that gap, right? Okay, just switching that is not going to make it happen. And finally, here's the thing. Eventually, here's what happens. It becomes too painful. The gap being there just makes us feel like that's our issue. And people start to feel that pain, and they see it's kind of hopeless. Inside, you start to feel discouraged, and you start to feel like, why doesn't this work for me? And maybe you're sitting right next to somebody who's faking the whole thing, and you think, oh, they've got it figured out. What are they doing differently than I am? And the truth is here's what I think is, it's sad when all of a sudden people are saying, I think I just have to give up. It's just not possible. What if I were to say to you this morning that what Jesus said in John, what if that really could happen? What if he meant what he said? What if there's another way? What if we could work that to where that really became a reality and we didn't have to work harder, we didn't have to switch venues, we didn't have to all of a sudden pretend and fake, but it was just really what it was? Wouldn't you be excited about that? We know that effort's not going to get there. Here's where it comes from. It comes from grace, right? We're awesome at saying, okay, I'm a sinner. I need God's grace to get saved, right? Everybody here agree with that? Good with that? Okay, good. I'm glad, because that's an important understanding. Here's where we're not so good. We need grace to live the Christian life. Because here's the thing, what I feel like, that's why I like starting over, because it's like, okay, I know I need that grace. But honestly, I feel like, Jesus, you already died on the cross for me. You already did all this, and you gave me a second chance, and now I've taken this and I've kind of messed it up. I can't ask for more grace. You've already given me enough, right? But what Jesus is saying in this passage is saying, hey, the Spirit is coming. The Spirit's coming to live inside of you and live inside of me so that you can have grace, not just to be saved, but grace to live. Because grace equals power. I believe this. Grace is the power to live like I couldn't live on my own. If I could have done this on my own, do you think I would have said, okay, I want to spend my life in this? I'd be out doing whatever, saying, I got this. But I know I don't. I can't. You can't. That gap exists because we need God's Spirit to close that gap and make it a reality. And that's kind of the message that I'm looking to send today. And you know that, how many of you know that song, As the Deer Pants for the Water? Okay, if you know that song, what's the picture in your head when you, because I don't know if you're like me, but I visualize things. What's the picture of that deer in your head? Some of you, I know there's a lot of hunters in here, so this might really be dangerous, okay? All right? Of course, he's got the massive rack. I understand that, okay? But do you picture, you know, you're picturing this real green place, right? You know, it's like maybe your favorite hunting stand version of it or whatever. But, you know, you're picturing a nice little stream and the deer is just kind of like, oh, I'm coming in for a drink, right? Isn't that, that's kind of my picture of it. But if you know the writer of the Psalms who's talking about this deer who pants for the water, we don't have hardwoods and nice lush grass and all these streams over in the place where they live. It was a desert climate, right? So that deer is not going, oh, I just think I'm going to stroll by my stream today. That deer is going, if I don't find some water, I'm dead. Doesn't that change that song? Because I always thought, you know, I kind of feel like God's presence. I'm hungry for you. I'm thirsty for you today, God. And I just feel like I'm coming to a stream when in reality I've got to search. And without your presence, without your spirit, I'm dead. That gap is an indication that without the spirit in my life, I am dead. And our job is to make sure that we never get far enough away from that source of water that we have to go looking for it for very long at all. We have to live there. And the final illustration that I'll give you is this. It's kind of an interesting deal, but I've not done the surfing thing, but I've done the boogie boarding thing, and that's kind of a cool thing. It's basically because I have a little thing with sharks, you know. I didn't. But we were in Florida one time, and I was kind of out boogie boarding, and we were up, you know, shoulder type, and all of a sudden, it was one of those things where I'm standing there, and I just had this happen to my leg, and I'm pretty analytical, but that time I moved to the shore and did my analyzing on the way, like, what was that, okay? Because I didn't really want to sit there and figure it out and, you know, second time being, oh, yeah, that is what I thought it was, you know. So at that point, all of a sudden, I said, yeah, this surfing thing, you know, deep water, you know, you're looking like a seal, they say. I don't know if I need to do that. But here's the thing that surfing is like, is people are out there and they'll teach you that all kinds of things. You know, it takes balance. You got to learn how to ride a wave and all this thing. But the analogy for me is this, is that the trick is understanding how to get and be able to ride with that wave and stay within that wave and manage that wave and keep your balance and do all those things, right? You never once have to get out there and you know, amp up a wave. You don't have to create one and say, okay, I'm going to make you here and then come over here. The wave's already there coming. You have to figure how to get into that wave and ride it. And that's kind of how I picture the Spirit of God, meaning that's there, His grace is coming, and it's steady. And all I have to do is figure out how to live my life within that pocket. Learn how to balance, learn how to jump on that and ride that, and I'm going to fail miserably. I'll give you a great example. Last Christmas, when I was looking for presents in my least favorite time of the year, to go to the mall. Not that there's a big difference in all times of year for that for me, but for sure, the parking at the mall, at Mayfair, if you've ever been down to Mayfair in Milwaukee, on a regular day, it's terrible parking. At Christmas time, you know, it's just ready-made road rage is what it is, okay? And so I'm driving, and I'm coming in, and there's all these tiers, you know. There's the real fortunate people. And then there's the second tier where it's like a little bit of a walk, but you can still do it without your coat, kind of a deal. And then you've got, you know, satellite parking, basically. And so I'm coming down, and, you know, I'm really patient in my mind, not necessarily my actions all the time. And I'm driving down, like, the first tier, and all of a sudden the dream happens, right? Those little white lights on the back of the car light up, and I'm thinking, okay, I've got a parking spot. I can get in, get out. It's going to be great. And it's, you know, there's those arrows, like which way you're supposed to go down, you know, because you know, and I, you know, details, all right. It's the angle, right? You got to pull in at the right angle and all that stuff. I'm sitting there. I do the control freak thing, and I have the blinker on so everybody knows, you know, all but taping it off saying, this is my spot as soon as she's gone, okay? Kind of a deal. And of all the things, I'm backed out far enough. She's got to back out and have room to go that way, right? And I see this other car at the very other end turn and come in going the wrong way, right? And I just kind of turned to the friend that I had in the car and I said, nah, you know, this isn't, you know, there's no way they're going to, maybe they're just trying to 3-point turn or something. Sure enough, they start coming down there. And inside of me, it's pretty crazy the things that start going on, you know? Because, you know, I tend to, when I'm driving, I'm pretty loose on the whole, you know, hey, be, if the cops should be a little gracious with the speed limit and things like that. And I tend to be pretty, you know, not by the book kind of guy. Parking lot's another story, okay? If that's your spot, that's your spot, right? And this lady coming the other way. And needless to say, the car backs out and she just comes in, just about clips the other one. There she is. And she's getting out of her car. And the window's right there, you know? I mean, we're within, I'm this close to Jay. I'm like, I can have a conversation with this lady because I've already had one in my head, you know. I'm not like looking for quick things to say. I've got them, okay? And I think most of you have been there before, not necessarily with a parking lot, but all kinds of other places. And the reason I tell that story is this, is that that wave, it's a hard thing to ride all the time. It's a super easy thing for me to jump right out. It's super easy for me to wander away from that source of water, that source of life, that source of... And guess what happens when I do that? All this time I thought God created this gap. And in reality, you know what? I had created that gap. Is a parking spot the end of my salvation? Not at all. Not at all. But it's an opportunity for me to know and to learn, this is how I live in the Spirit. Because that Spirit was telling me, these things that are going on inside of you, it's not abundant life. It's not. And I wanted to say, but it sure feels good. Right? And that's what we fight. And so this morning, I guess the message is this, is that God's giving you the grace to be saved, but he's also giving you the grace to live in his Spirit with abundant life. And honestly, what I believe is it would be terribly, terribly sad if a great church like this was full of a bunch of people who were secretly so disappointed, so sad, so depressed that there was this gap in their life from the real life that Jesus had said he would give us to the one that we feel like we have to live with. My prayer is simple today, that this church becomes a place where that gap, we're doing everything we can to eliminate that daily. Every day, I'm gonna get back in that flow of the Spirit. I'm gonna ride that wave and I'm gonna live this way. And here's what I know about this church, and call it prophetic or whatever else, but I believe from being around your students, they're committed to living this way. And there's not gonna be enough pews in this place to keep all the students. They're gonna wanna sit up front. And I believe that what's gonna happen, it's reflective of the leadership of the adults in this congregation as well. You're going to be doing that same thing. And if we really get this as the Church of Christ, if we get this, people are going to be drawn to that. People that pull down the wrong way in the parking lot are going to come and they're going to say, man, I did something selfish. They're going to find people in here that aren't going to care about that. They're going to care about them. And they're going to say, there's life for you. There's life for me. We can do this together. And honestly, if we get this, the outreach schemes and all that kind of stuff are going to go out the window because people are drawn to the Christ that they see.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.